A study conducted by Monash University found children in Australian primary schools are capable and willing to discuss racial issues, but are being silenced by their teachers and parents. It showed silencing conversations surrounding race can lead to deep-seated racial bias and stays with children well into adulthood. Teachers said they felt they were not equipped to educate diverse classrooms and in dealing with racially diverse student experiences. The study found children experience regular racism in schools at both an individual and systemic level. This means marginalized students have lower learning and academic expectations and are likely to receive stronger punishments for infractions than their white peers. Many educators in the study said racism wasn't an issue in schools and the conversations weren't needed as children didn't see race. Psychologist and PhD candidate Hannah Yared says the study found four key themes regarding racism in Australian primary schools.
And the four key themes were around teachers' competence and confidence in dealing with racial issues in the classroom. There was also white normative teaching strategies. The third theme was colour evasiveness, so sort of that idea of children don't see race and everybody's equal, those kind of thought processes, and also silencing, which was just sort of avoiding or minimising conversations around racial issues.
According to Ms. Yared, white normativity is excluding culturally diverse children from the Australian classroom experience.
White normativity is essentially where classrooms are created to centre the experiences of white people and white history and white culture, and everything else sort of becomes the other. And that was most commonly done, or is most commonly done a lot of the time, by sort of insinuating that Australianness, so what it means to be Australian, is inherently tied and synonymous with whiteness.
The study shows there are ways for the classroom to embrace diversity.
This is multifaceted and there's many different things that sort of come into play here, but it would be around thinking about the resources that we're using and the dialogue that we're having, the books that we bring into the classroom, all of those teaching tools, and sort of increasing that diversity and ensuring that our classrooms are culturally responsive to children and that they're developed with an anti-racist framework in mind so that all children are represented in the classroom, and also thinking about who teaching staff are and who the leadership team are and whether those people reflect the children in the classroom as well and their experiences and their background.
Ms. Yared says a way to avoid racial bias developing in children is to stop silencing the conversation.
Starting to have those conversations definitely helps. So what we find is that when we avoid those, and look, it's done with good intention. It's not done with any malice. It's done with the idea that we can, if we avoid having those conversations, then it'll somehow be more beneficial. And what we actually find is that avoiding those conversations is counterproductive, and it means that children still think about these things.
With racial issues popular in the media over the past year, children's exposure to racism has increased, and addressing this conversation during their developmental stage is important.
They still think about race, they're still witnessing racism, whether that is through the media. Obviously, especially the last year, there's been a lot that children have seen. They still experience it, so they end up developing sort of potentially negative views, and if we don't have conversations with them about that, those things may develop on into adulthood, because we know that biases and racism don't develop magically when we're adults. And the other problem with sort of avoiding those things is that marginalised students who experience racism, and they do, and that happens sometimes at schools, they don't have a space to process those issues either. So it's sort of multifaceted. And look, conversations and having those open, honest and sort of age-appropriate conversations will help to develop racial literacy and decrease bias, but it's not the only thing that we can be doing.
A reassessment of what racism is could help equip teachers to understand how to deal with bias in the classroom and to have those conversations about race.
The way in which we view racism and what that means probably needs to be redefined a little bit. I think when we talk about racism, often people have this really overt view of what that means, and it has to be something very shocking, and they don't realise that there are so many less obvious versions of racism that also exist. So the other aspect is that there is a binary view of racism where people believe that if you're a good person, then you can't possibly be racist, and if you're a bad person, only bad people are racist, and it sort of doesn't leave room to move, and it means that, you know, people don't believe that you can be a good person, also hold biases and be racist, and that's not actually true. Plenty of good people also have biases and can be racist as well.
Ms. Yared says the next step is to create a targeted program to address the issues with the children directly.
Talking to students themselves to actually find out what they need and what they want and what's developmentally appropriate for them, so that hopefully we can develop some really targeted things that really centre the needs of students.
That was psychologist, PhD candidate and lead author of the Monash University study, Hannah Yared.